Welcome back. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And this is the Silver Boys Podcast. And today we have some things to talk about.
There's a lot of things up in the sports world that we should cover. We got to cover today.
Man, so let's go back. Let's go back to what happened Sunday.
Okay.
So Sunday was the women's college basketball, and I know we don't really talk about women's sports or anything like that, but
I think this is a good starting point to start talking about it, just simply because of the show that these women put on.
Oh yeah.
You know, when do you ever see 102-85 in a women's college basketball game in the final two?
It's not.
Like,
it's...
LSU put a whooping on Iowa, and like the fact that they had so many people tuned in, you know, that's what made it exciting, and that's what made you want to watch more, and you wanted to see the rivalries that were brewing between, you know what I'm saying, LSU, Iowa, even, like, you know, South Carolina,
right.
You know, UConn, and then you got Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark doing their thing, like, you know, so that's, it brought a lot out, and I'm happy to see that, just because it's giving us something else to talk about, rather than just, you know what I'm saying,
focusing on the men,
just, yeah, exactly, right. it's breaking up the monotony of it, you feel me?
So, I'm gonna read off this stat right here. So, the NCAA Women's National Championships, 9.9 million viewers are more than any women's college basketball game ever, any Major League Soccer game ever, any Stanley Cup since 1973, is more than the 2023 Orange Bowl, the 2023 Sugar Bowl, any Thursday night football game from 2023, the 2021 NBA Finals with the Suns and the Bucks, mm-hmm. the 2020 World Series, the finale of The Last of Us, which is a huge series coming in this year, and it's more than the most recent MLB, NBA, NFL, and All-Star games.
Like,
they blew everybody
out of the water. That's disgusting. And you know why? Because they created the hype around the game.
Oh yeah.
LSU told you what they were gonna come in and do to Caitlin Clark. They were like, oh, you're not waving us off. You ain't gonna do none of that celebration stuff. Nothing. They came in and said it. Everybody wanted to see. All right. They talk a big game. Are they gonna do it? And look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did it. How could you not tune into that if you love the game of basketball and you got a competitive spirit?
Yeah, if you love the game of sports as a whole, that's what it is. And then that's what became the thing after the game. So, obviously, you know, LSU wins. Angel Reese is, you know, mocking Caitlin Clark. You know, the whole team is pretty much mocking mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark with the whole "you can't see me" stuff, like, and, yeah. you know, things of that nature. Then after that, on social media, everyone starts having a problem with it.
Why wasn't it a problem when Caitlin Clark was doing it?
Exactly.
Though?
Caitlin Clark was talking a lot. Not even just like the whole game. She was talking a lot the whole tournament. This is my thing. You could see who has played competitive sports and who hasn't, who's been in certain situations and who hasn't. I don't care if you just played a championship game in AAU. I don't care if it was in your middle school and high school. You know what those games are like. You know what it's like to be in those trenches.
You know what that tension feels like.
Exactly. It's dog-like every time you're out there because there's so much intensity, so much emotion going on.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously things are going to get said. You know what I mean? Things are going to be done.
I agree.
And then everyone's sitting there, you know, having a problem with Angel Reese doing it. Even Caitlin Clark got on ESPN the other day and was like, I don't care. It's part of the game.
She had no problem with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. She knew what was going to happen.
Exactly.
And I'll put it to you like this. If I'm Angel Reese, I watched you, the female Steph Curry, I watched you literally put a whooping on everybody, even the team that was undefeated, the team that was probably going to go down as one of the greatest basketball teams of all time. I just watched you do that to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You think if I don't come in here and if I don't start whipping up on you, then I'm not going to start doing the same things that you did to everybody else?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's that mentality. That's the thing that I'm talking about right there. Everybody has something to say for no reason, but they've never been in the spot that she has been in. You feel me?
They can't. My thing is you're putting so much pressure and you're putting so much pressure on a college girl.
Yeah, a sophomore, by the way.
A sophomore. A college girl who's young, still going through it, still trying to figure out who she is as a person and as a woman in this world. And you're labeling her as, you know, different things, and you're putting all of these stigmas around her. Mm-hmm. That's not you can't do that.
No.
Not when she's going and she's playing her heart out and she's giving everything she's got to a game that everybody who tuned in, 9.9 million viewers, want to see. You know? That, so how you can't if you had a problem with Angel Reese doing it, you got to have a problem with Caitlin Clark doing it.
Exactly.
If you don't have a problem with Caitlin Clark doing it, you can't have a problem with Angel Reese doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, there's no way in the world that you could sit here and tell me that they didn't do the exact same thing to each other. Yeah, there was a clip where Angel Reese might have prolonged her celebration.
I can understand.
Would you understand? Because obviously what happens is, like I said, this is a Final Four. This is a championship game. Obviously, at a certain point, you know, the emotion of the game is going to draw you into doing things.
It's going to come out.
Exactly. You're going to do things that you're not accustomed to doing or that you don't usually do. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all because of the love of the game that you have. It's all because of the emotion of the game. It's going to happen.
And that, as viewers and as people who love the sport, that's all you can ask for.
Exactly.
That you don't want to. You don't want me personally. I don't want to see a game where everybody hugging and kissing up on each other.
Oh yeah, no.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that every game of every, like, I don't want to. It's cool with camaraderie. I'm cool with all of that.
Exactly.
You being cool with everybody. Do that after the game. Do that outside of it. When you're inside these lines, it's go time and it's dog time, and we're gonna see man to man. We're gonna see.
Exactly.
Woman to woman, we gonna see.
Exactly. So, I love it. I love where the women's game is being pushed to now. I feel like especially Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark themselves, they know that they're going to be like the next generation of women to like start pushing, you know, another
agenda. New wave.
Yeah.
A whole new wave is going to come.
Yeah.
A whole new wave is going to come. And I'm excited to see that.
I am too.
I'm excited to see that.
It's much needed. It's much needed. And, you know,
it's too stagnant right now. It's not, let's shake it up a little bit, you know? Let's shake it up.
They want more attention to the sport. They want more money to it.
Exactly.
This is how you do it.
This is how you build it.
Controversy.
Come on. Do what you gotta do.
Let's move on to the men's side. UConn pretty much showed everybody from the first day that this tournament started that they just weren't someone to be messed with. There's nothing you could do with them.
Nothing you could do at all. They went through an entire tournament and I think they were barely tested just purely because they were so dominant to everybody.
They were. The Iona, you know, in the first half, everybody was like, oh yeah, Iona could beat them. I feel like most people said that Iona could beat them because they have Rick Pitino. I didn't really have that much trust in Iona beating them because if we look at it, you know, talent standpoint, obviously, you work hard to get to a certain point, but the talent is going to end up rising over at a certain point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
More times than not. Sometimes, obviously, we've seen that it did it.
Talent and hard work.
Oh, yeah. But from Iona, then St. Mary's, you know, St. Mary's, that was, you know, St. Mary's had problems of their own, you know, coming into it. They got blown out by Gonzaga in a conference tournament. And then after that, you know, they see Arkansas, who just beat Kansas, but Arkansas was too small, didn't have anything for anybody. And then I thought their biggest test was going to be against Gonzaga.
I think
everybody else did too.
I thought the same exact way as well. And the way that they just ran roughshod right over them,
they dismantled
I think them. That right there is what changed the course of everything.
Yeah, I think
it changed the course of how we see them.
Yeah,
how they see themselves.
Yeah, I think you know, going up to that game, that's when everyone's like, all right, this is where it's really gonna come down to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember saying to myself, I was like, all right, well, whoever comes out of this region is more than likely gonna. It's either this region or the that Midwest. I think it was the Midwest region with Houston and all of them. Yeah.
Yes.
But the way that they just ran, through Gonzaga as if they weren't even there. It wasn't even fair.
They were all cones to UConn.
It just wasn't fair. And then, you know, they get to the Final Four and they literally all they did was just pick up where they left off every time they came back on the court.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a new opponent. As soon as we figured them out, which is going to more than likely be at the end of the first half, as soon as we figured them out, okay, cool. We just going to run in transition after that.
Go time. And shout out Sanogo, man. He's one of my favorite players, actually. Like, I want to definitely gonna keep my eye on him simply because of just how big he is, like how much of a dog he is. Like,
strong on them boys.
Strong, real, real strong. Like, he's pushing everybody. He don't care. That's what I love to see.
Yeah.
He don't care, you know?
I became a fan of Hawkins.
Okay.
Jordan
Hawkins.
Yeah,
Hawkins was nice too.
He's a baller, man.
Hawkins is nice.
He could catch it from anywhere and shoot it. Like that was like one of my favorite things.
Off the dribble, everything.
Exactly.
Off the dribble, catch and shoot it deep too.
Yeah.
He was pulling from deep.
Yeah.
Right,
he
yes.
has the whole package. He reminded me of Tyler Herro, honestly. Just has the whole thing, you know, offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that's going to be a team to look out for, I believe, next year as well, cuz I think that they're going to have a lot of guys coming back. I know Jackson's coming back. I think Sanogo might be coming back. So they have a few key pieces coming back. Their big man off the bench, I forgot his name, but the big man that would come in for Sanogo,
okay,
that sometimes work with Sanogo, he's coming back because he's just a freshman. So they have a squad coming back. So I would not be so don't be surprised if you see them up in your top five when the season begins in November.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at all, especially by Dan Hurley coach team, team like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see them repeating, honestly.
Yeah.
I'll put that out there now. I can see them repeating easily.
That's going to be something. And it's funny because how their season went, they were great in the beginning. In the middle, they fell off a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started losing the team. I remember watching a game where they were getting blown out by St. John's. I was like, at home too.
Wow.
And I was just like, what in the world?
Yeah.
It was like in the midst of that. I think they were like 2-6 at a certain point in January.
Okay.
And it wasn't looking good. And then February, they started to figure it out again. March was kind of funny because they got bounced in the Big East. And when the bracket first came out, I was sitting there, I was like, they got to go through Kansas. And then more likely, you're going to have to see either Gonzaga or UCLA. And my biggest thing was, how in the world are they going to get past these teams, you know? And they didn't get past, I think it was Xavier, if I'm not mistaken, that they couldn't get past in the Big East tournament. So there was a lot of question marks, but they answered those, and they answered those very quickly and let everybody know very loudly.
They let everybody know loudly.
That's
screaming from the rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
They not to be messed with.
Exactly.
Don't play with them.
Exactly. So proud of them. Proud to see a UConn team win again.
Facts. Fifth title, you know, 25 years?
I believe so.
Yeah, fifth title in 25 years.
Three different coaches.
Mm-hmm. Three. That UConn, it's the program.
Yeah.
The program.
Yeah.
And how all the kids are bought in and how the whole organization is bought in. To have three different coaches come in, that says a lot.
That shows a lot about your program and what you built over there. And like I said, don't be surprised if you see them up there next year.
Not at all.
But let's move on to the NBA.
Okay.
We literally only have most teams only have about three games max.
Listen,
two.
Play-in starts, we're recording this Thursday, it's going to come out Saturday. Play-in starts on April 11th, man.
Yeah.
April 11th, play-in starts. We're almost here.
So, looking at the standings for the play-in, on the East, so the East is pretty much locked up almost. Milwaukee is first. They have this solidified. Boston has second. Philly has third. Cleveland has fourth. The Knicks have fifth. Now, the sixth has not been locked up yet. The sixth or seventh has not been locked up yet. The Nets are a game and a half above Miami for that last slot before the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, we have Miami in the play-in at 7. Atlanta has locked up a play-in. Toronto and Chicago at 8, 9, and 10. So
Brooklyn can't. That's going to be a real tough matchup. If they, that sixth seed, they're going to, I want them to secure that.
Yeah.
Or even, I don't even know. They'll have, Philly first round?
Yeah.
If they can secure that sixth seed?
Correct.
And, Brooklyn got to stay there.
Yeah.
Brooklyn has to stay there.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around and going to play in.
You can't drop to eight.
Yeah,
you can't even drop to seven.
Yeah, you don't want to drop to seven because you don't want to see Boston in the first round. Then you also don't want to see Milwaukee. You want to give yourself the best shot. So I would say their best shot would be against Philly. I don't have them winning against Philly.
I wouldn't have them winning against Philly either.
Exactly. I wouldn't bet that.
They can make it a somewhat of a series.
Right. I can see it going. You know, I can see them sneaking one.
At least one.
I can see them sneaking one.
Philly's going to at least 4-1.
Correct. Like a game three or game four if they're at home. Yes. But yes. I don't see them winning that series. You know, Joel Embiid is really, really, really making a case for that MVP.
Joel Embiid is on a tear.
And you can see it now.
You can see it in his face and how he's playing. He's playing angry. He doesn't play gingerly like how he was before.
Right.
Even like last season, two seasons, three seasons ago, it was like he was just hesitant.
Right.
There's no more of that more.
It used to be more so, like, especially in the beginning of the season, middle of the season, it was more so like, you know, I'll give you 30 points or 15 rebounds. Now it's like, yeah, nah, I'm giving you 40. I'm going to give you 40, and I dare somebody to stop me.
He just dropped 52.
Against the Celtics.
He had half.
He had to have the team's point.
He had half of his team's, and this is not the first time that he's did it this season.
Yeah, that's the problem.
This is the second time that he's done it. So what does that say? What does that say about him? He wants this.
Yeah.
He wants this. Yeah. He's putting that team on his back. His back probably hurt.
This is
his
personal.
Back hurts.
This is personal. This is personal. Even Doc Rivers was like, I might be biased, but at this point, it's got to be that slot has to be locked up. That MVP slot has to be locked up. And, you know, I wouldn't mind, like I said, I wouldn't mind if you give it to Giannis, who's playing great. You know, if you give it to Jokic, you want him to be a three-time back-to-back-to-back-to-back MVP, by all means. But what Joel Embiid has showed us, you know, at 31.1 points per game, 33.3 points per game, 10.2 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks per game.
Monster numbers.
Yeah, there's not much else I could ask of him. So if he wants to, if you want to give him the MVP, by all means, I would say
If I had a vote, I'd give it to him.
Yeah, that last game, that game on Tuesday against the Celtics is what just solidified it for me.
Yes.
You know, obviously we have a couple more games, but with everything kind of being locked up, I don't really see anybody else really making a statement.
Nobody else. Like, the Knicks are going to stay right in that fifth seed.
Right.
They got a real, real good, tough chance against Cleveland, you know what I mean, to knock them off.
That's the...
I genuinely hope they do. They better. They better. If I see Donovan Mitchell drop like 40 at the Garden and they win,
like
imagine. Can you imagine? Let's just say 3-3. It would go back to Cleveland though, because they would have home court. But even let's just say 3-2.
Yeah.
At the Garden, game six. Julius Randle got to get this. Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, they got to get a win. Donovan Mitchell comes in. 40, 50. What if you do that?
The Knicks are going to be in their feelings. Like, you want to talk about...
After finishing strong towards the back half of the season?
Yeah, that's one of the best teams in the back half of the season, too. Might add, like, in the top five.
No. I need at least second round. At least second round. If I don't get that, Cam, don't let me come back. Don't let me come back. I'm serious.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm serious.
All I got to say is Julius Randle has to come back healthy.
Yes.
That's all I got to say. Julius Randle has to come back healthy if they want to do it, if they want to make it to the second round, as Kyle is alluding for them to do. So, but let's move on to the West.
Whew.
So, the Wild Wild West, from the 5th seed all the way down to, we'll go all the way down to the 11th. So, you have the Clippers and Golden State. They're tied at the 5th and 6th seed. Lakers are right under there, tied at the 7th and 8th with New Orleans, but they have the tiebreaker over New Orleans, so they would stay in that 7th spot. Minnesota is in at the 9th seed. Oklahoma City and Dallas are both tied for 10th.
I don't even...
I don't even know what to think of this. This hurts my head because
it can be a coin flip and a half. It's a toss up. That's 5 teams, 6 teams. It's a toss up.
And the funny thing is, I'm not even gonna lie to you. From 5, 6, 7, those 3 teams, even the fourth seed with Phoenix being there. Those are the teams that everyone's like, oh, yeah, those are the teams that are most likely to make it out the West. Win. Because, it's funny, like, Denver's just started falling off at the end, mm-hmm. and now no one's really believing in Denver.
Nobody's believing in Denver.
You know, Memphis has secretly been one of the best, after the whole Ja Morant thing, but then nobody still wants to talk about them because we don't know how stable that they will be.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings. They've had this miraculous season, 48-32 as of right now.
You hear nobody talking about them.
No one's talking
about
them.
Nobody wants to give them their props because they don't have their experience in the playoffs.
Exactly. They're so young. Phoenix is still coming together, even though KD might be one of the most plug-in, play-in players that we have ever seen.
He could go anywhere.
He can go anywhere and just give you his usual 25-30.
This is huge. But these next two games for these 6 teams, these next two games are crucial.
Oh yeah,
crucial.
My biggest question to you right now is: so that fifth seed is up in the air still.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, with the Clippers and Golden State tied, who would you rather see? I'm not gonna say who would you rather see. Who would give the Suns the toughest matchup out of those two teams?
Honestly speaking, out of Golden State and the Lakers.
Out of Golden State and
Golden State and the Clippers.
Yeah, because the Clippers.
I'm gonna say Clippers. Honestly.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, Lakers. I could see the Lakers giving Phoenix a little bit of problems as well.
I could see it too, but the only thing is because of the loss against the Clippers. I don't think that even, like, you know, if they were to go into a tiebreaker, they wouldn't get it because they got swept by the Clippers once again. I think it's 11 straight wins for the Clippers,
which,
as a Laker fan, that sucks. But
that's awful.
But it doesn't matter. They're still always going to be number two. But that's the reason why I don't see the Lakers. So I think the best the Lakers could do possibly is that sixth seed, which is something that they would want because they would get Sacramento. But the reason why I said Golden State, either Golden State or the Clippers, is because I think that they would have the best shot at that fifth seed.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
I'm just going to say Clippers simply because I like Kawhi better than I like Golden State simply on the defensive and on the road. You're not going to convince me that they can go to Philly. I mean, I'm sorry, that they can go to Phoenix and win.
And
win on the road. I don't think that they can do it. I'm just going to say that.
That's the thing with me, especially with, you know, obviously they're getting Andrew Wiggins back, but
he hasn't played in months.
He hasn't played in 20 plus games. And that's the thing. Everyone's,
how can you say that he's such a big X factor coming back? The man probably got no stamina.
Exactly. Like, I understand, you know, he's been working out and things of that nature, but obviously it's not the same thing as game time speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's my biggest thing right there. If, you know, I have the Clippers being that team that will give them the most problems as well because Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. I trust in a little more. If Paul George can come back.
He gets reevaluated next week.
Exactly. So
I like the way Russ is playing.
Exactly. Russ is playing like the old Russ that we've been accustomed to seeing. Norman Powell did his thing against the Lakers the other night.
Amazing.
Bones Highland that they got, you know, that team is just more trustworthy right now. Isn't it weird to say because I don't think I've ever said that about the Clippers team, like ever. Like
even without Paul George, they've shown that they can be at least a little trustworthy right now.
Correct.
But even the Lakers, that all depends on AD.
Oh yeah.
It all depends on AD and Bron. Oh, yeah. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh yeah. As long as the Lakers can get into the sixth seed.
Get that week off.
Let them get another week of rest.
They got to get that 6-seed. Let them get their week off.
You let LeBron get another week of rest. We already seen what happened the last time you gave him rest. he starts going crazy.
It could be another bubble scenario. Who knows?
Don't let that happen again.
And the season that he breaks Kareem, that he break Kareem record.
I'm going to let y'all know right now. Come on. Don't let this man do what he wants to do, yo. And he gets his fifth ring the same year that he breaks the all-time record. Yo, y'all going to be in trouble.
Everybody gonna be mad.
Because I'll put it to you like this real quick right before we wrap this up. I'll put it to you like this. So many people are still like, they still want to be like, oh yeah, the 2020 bubble, you know, that doesn't count, yada, yada, the Mickey Mouse ring, yada, yada, yada. Look, I'm gonna tell you two main reasons why people are mad about that. It's because one, the Lakers won it, and two, is because LeBron won it. That's the only two reasons why. Other than that, you ask all NBA players and you look up their interviews or whatever, when they talk about this stuff, they say that was the hardest ring to win because you were in the weirdest circumstances ever. So, you know, you tell me who's the real champion at the end of the day. I think from what I've seen with the bubble, all the real ballers came out. But, hey, that's the episode. That's episode, what, number 12, I believe it is?
Oh.
Yo, thank you all for being on this journey with us, man. We just getting started, yo. I just love every time that I get, you know, the feedback that you guys give out. You know, I'm starting to get requests of, like, if we're going to talk about this, I think my godmother, if I'm not mistaken, my mom woke me up this morning. So, she asked me questions every time I wake up, and I'm like, bro, like, you have to stop that. But I think she asked me, my godmother asked if we were doing the LSU Iowa game, which we did. So by all means, yo, if you got a sport, if you got a topic that you wanted to talk about, shoot that to us before Thursday, and we might just have you. All right. So later on, peace, love, and happiness to you all. See you. We will talk to you guys next week. Later.
Thank you.